present yourself approved to God. Let's look at our highlighted scripture text this afternoon, starting with the King James Version of the Bible. As Brother Michael Nakora once commented humorously in a discourse, the version the apostles used. His comment made me smile because some of the Christian friends sometimes give the King James Version published in 1611 AD the weight of apostolic authority, even when there are improved translations using older manuscripts and that have been discovered more recently. Instead of giving a translation more weight because it is venerable and most commonly used, the careful student will look at the Greek and Hebrew words, their meanings, the context in which the words are used, and then review how they are translated from the Greek and the Hebrew into English or whatever other language it's translated in different translations. Perhaps the translation that most accurately translates the words using the latest manuscript evidence should be used. At a minimum, more than one translation of the Holy Scriptures should be used when studying to show ourselves approved to God. Our highlighted text is 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 is a scripture that all Bible students are familiar with. The scripture can be divided into five primary parts to better understand and apply it. We'll begin with the first part, study. Study the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, and our own conduct. Does our conduct match what we are studying in the scriptures? If not, why not? Our conduct must change to match what we believe the scriptures are teaching us. Our conduct should not be our own way of thinking to be acceptable to Jehovah, but the new and living way open to us through his son, Jesus, our example. Our thinking needs to change, to transform, as Romans 12:2 commands, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word study comes from the Greek word spoudazo, Strong's number 4704, meaning to use speed, to make effort, be prompt, or earnest. We are to make effort, to make earnest effort, study to show ourselves approved to God. The second part of 2 Timothy 2:15 is, show thyself approved to God. This is our primary focus today. The word translated approve in the Greek is dokimos, Strong's number 1384, meaning acceptable and approved. What does it mean to show yourself acceptable or approved to God? What actions can you and I take that Jehovah would approve of us as his servants? What is Jehovah looking for in our words and actions that he would condescend to allow us to serve his word of truth to others and to bless his people? Isaiah 52:11 tells us, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. We are to be spiritually clean that carry the good tidings of great joy to all people. The saying cleanliness is next to godliness bears repetition here in relationship to our character. A spiritually clean character, a character that loves righteousness and hates iniquity, a Christ-like character is next to godliness. The third part of our text is a workman. A workman is someone that has a job to do, someone that has a mission to fulfill, someone who is working, someone who is actively engaged in a task. The Greek word is Strong's number 2040, ergotes, meaning a toiler and figuratively a teacher. As followers of Christ, we are each teachers of the good news in our words and deeds, in our living examples. The Apostle Paul describes the active and working Christian as a living letter in 2 Corinthians 3:2-3 in the Message translation. 2 Corinthians 3:2-3. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it. Let's now move to part four, of 2 Timothy 2:15. That needs not to be ashamed. The Christian worker is not ashamed of not performing the task because he or she is actively engaged in the task before them. Not ashamed to be caught lounging because diligently working. Not ashamed to be sleeping on your watch because alert and awake, scanning our daily duties, responsibilities, and opportunities for serving the Lord. To let our light shine, to live according to the Spirit, to see God's overruling providences in our lives and the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to be seeing and reading current events from the high watchtower of scriptural truth. We rejoice and our faith is strengthened by the fulfilled prophecies of Scripture. We rejoice in the rebirth of the nation of Israel, the prophetic fig tree of Matthew 24:32 and Luke 21:29. Jehovah speaks of this marvelous time that our eyes are blessed to see in Amos 9:14 and 15. Amos 9:14 and 15. And I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, saith Jehovah thy God. Isn't that marvelous? It's marvelous in our eyes. And we look for the full accomplishment of the prophecies yet to be fulfilled, knowing that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10. The fifth and final part of 2 Timothy 2:15 is rightly dividing the word of truth. In the application of God's word, the laboring Christian rightly divides the word of truth. The Greek word translated rightly dividing is Strong's number 3718, or thotomeo, which means to make a straight cut, that is figuratively to dissect correctly. So making a straight or accurate dissection of the word of truth. Each new creature in Christ is to correctly expound the word of truth by looking at the context, and very importantly, to look at the subject topically, knowing that the word of God must harmonize with itself. The Bible indeed is its own interpreter. So recompiling the five parts of the scripture, we are to make earnest effort, the concept of diligent study, to show ourselves approved to Jehovah, a toiler apt to teach in accurately dissecting the word of truth. How do we accurately dissect the word of truth? How do we make a straight cut to the heart of the matter? Look to Jehovah and ask for his wisdom, his leading in prayer. Read and study the four gospel accounts of Jesus' words and life. Look at when scriptures and prophecies were given and fulfilled, or partially fulfilled, or are still to be fulfilled. Look at the Hebrew and Greek meanings of the words translated in our language. Look at different translations of the Holy Scriptures. Study contextually and topically using the studies in the Scriptures and other helps. Look at the context of the words spoken. Ask yourself questions. Who was talking? Who was the audience? What was the object of the book or letter? Is there an application to faithful Christians throughout the gospel age, or to faithful Christians in our day, the end times? The harvest is the end of the age, the end of the gospel age. Look at the same topic in other areas of scripture and make sure the scriptures can be harmonized. This is what Brother Russell did, and he and we were greatly blessed as the truth on multiple topics poured out from this wise and faithful servant, including the truth about hell, the truth about the soul, the truth about the nature of God. We'll look at each one of these briefly. The truth about hell. It is not a place of eternal torment, but the death condition. Death is the absence of life. As the preacher in Ecclesiastes clearly states, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol, the grave, whither thou goest. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Jesus' own words in John 11:14 about his friend Lazarus are, Lazarus is dead. Not in heaven, not being tormented, but dead. In that very day, his thoughts perished. Psalm 146, 4. That's why Jesus went to raise him from the dead. Jesus gives the glory and honor to God in prayer and then calls Lazarus from the grave and he was alive again. He that was dead came forth. John 11:44. Jesus raising Lazarus was a beautiful picture of the resurrection when all that are in their graves will hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. Some to a resurrection of judgment, a highway of holiness for the world of mankind, and some to a resurrection of life for the church, the great company, and the ancient worthies. John 5:25-29. The truth about the soul. The soul is not immortal. If the soul is immortal, what is the point of the resurrection if the soul doesn't die? The prophet Ezekiel clearly states, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4-20. The truth about the nature of God. Jehovah is not a pagan triune God, but quite the opposite. He is the one and only true and living God who made heaven and earth. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Jehovah is the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, and dwells with those of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. Isaiah 57:15. Jesus is not God, but his Son who reflects his image, his character. As Jesus affirmed many times, including John 5:17-26 and John 11:4. Nathanael spoke this truth in John 1:49 when he said to Jesus, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art King of Israel. The Apostle Peter also spoke this truth in Matthew 16:16, saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus's friend Martha spoke this great truth as well in John 11:27. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. The truth about hell, the truth about the soul, and the truth about the nature of God all came about through study, through earnest study, by toiling to accurately cut a straight line through man-made error and dogmatic creeds to the truth given by God. Comparing scripture with scripture, looking at the words used, asking questions, looking at the context, and studying topically. To be acceptable to God, we are to study the scriptures. It's not a cursory reading of the scriptures, but a deep study of the scriptures where we learn that to be acceptable to God, we must have faith in the blood of Jesus to cover our sins. We are to then consecrate ourselves to God, giving ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or rational service. Romans 12:1. It's not rational not to follow Jesus after seeing the invitation to receive the crown of life, the divine nature. This is a very high calling. It's the highest of callings. That said, Jehovah is not calling everyone. He is calling many to follow Jesus in obedience and faithfulness to him and righteousness in this present evil world. All will have the opportunity to know Jehovah and know Jesus in the Messianic age. But this time is a special calling. He's calling out a little flock. Brother Russell puts it concisely in Reprints 18:02. The high calling costs all we have, though it is also worth all it costs. Some are not willing to pay the price. Obedience. Jesus makes the only acceptable terms of discipleship clear in Luke 9:23. And he said unto all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jehovah has called me. He has called you. We acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You and I have presented ourselves in consecration to Jehovah as the Apostle Paul describes in Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word translated transformed in English is the Greek word metamorpho. It is Strong's word number 3339. It appears that the Apostle Paul had in mind the metamorphosis of the slow, groveling, and grotesque-looking caterpillar into the acrobatic, graceful, and beautiful butterfly. This is the most extraordinary physical transformation in nature. This tiny insect's short life provides an analogy that everyone can relate to and beautifully pictures the transformation of the intentions and thinking of the mind from natural to spiritual, from a selfish love to a selfless love. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to God, a consecration of our all, was the most important, the most beautiful, and most sober decision we made in our lives that God has given us. Yet, in the routine of our daily lives, does the life you and I are living look like a life consecrated to God? It's a sobering question and similar to the more familiar question. If you and I were tried as Christians today, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Would there? By God's grace, through repentance, through the forgiveness of sins through Christ, faithfulness in living Christ, and sharing God's love in the opportunities given us to serve, there will be enough evidence to convict us of being consecrated Christians. Jehovah is faithful to finish the work he has begun in each of us. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is not by works that we are justified to life, but by faith, as the Apostle Paul makes clear in Galatians 2:16. In Hebrews 11:6, we're told, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That said, the Apostle Paul also says, we are a living epistle of Christ, known and read of all men. 2 Corinthians 3:2 and 3. The same apostle also said in Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. To show our faith to be a living sacrifice acceptable to God, we need to do good to all those we come in contact with. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another, John 13:35. The Apostle James agrees that we must show, we must live our faith by our works in James 2:21 to 24 from the Message translation. Wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works when he placed his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar? Isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoked partners, that faith expresses itself in works, that the works are works of faith? The full meaning of believe in the scripture sentence, Abraham believed God and was set right with God, includes his action. It's that mesh of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's friend. Is it not evident that a person is made right with God, not by a barren faith, but by faith fruitful in works? So through faith, the Christian, the new creature in Christ, must show their faith by their works. When we read about the amazing exploits of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, we are reading about very short periods of time in relationship to their entire life. Most of the time, their life consisted of the exercise of faith in the much smaller day-to-day activities. But they put their faith into action each day. If they had not been exercising their faith daily, they would not have had the heroic faith they exercised when God called them to do great and challenging works like build an ark on dry land when it never had rained before, leave one's home and familiar city for an unknown land, lead a nation out of slavery from the most powerful superpower of its time, march around the mighty walls of Jericho and have them fall down at your feet with only a shout. Defeat a giant clad in armor and weapons of war with only a sling and a stone. To stop the mouths of lions by never stopping your prayers no matter who commanded it. let's not treat each day as common, but as a gift from God in which our faith is proved. Say that again. Let's not treat each day as common, but as a gift from God in which our faith is proved. In Romans 12:2, the Apostle Paul contrasts conformity to the world with transformation to the spiritually minded. We are to study to know the difference and not be deceived by the wisdom of this world. We would not be acceptable to God if following one of this world's elusive bubbles. As a faithful worker and toiler, we choose God and we're acceptable and approved to him. We're not ashamed because we accurately cut out error in our understanding, in our conduct, through a continual toiling and deep study of the word of truth. We can say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:12-13, yet I am not ashamed, for I know him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Having an accurate understanding of the word of truth, God's great love, the beauty, symmetry, wisdom, and power of his plan of salvation, we earnestly strive to live the life God's word has opened to us, to run this race of faith, the new and living way Jesus ran before us. In studying our own behavior to present ourselves acceptable to Jehovah, we hold up our thoughts, our words, and what we're doing in our daily routines to the light of scripture truth. Are we happy with what we see in our thoughts, our words, and doings in our daily lives when we shine the light of truth on them? Most, if not all of the time, we want to do better. When we look at the perfect example Jesus set before us in his faithfulness, his love for God, for all people, and for righteousness, we're in awe. What great love he shared with his disciples and the children of Israel. What compassion he had for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as well as those outside the fold of Israel. How he showed kindness and love even for his enemies. What faithfulness and obedience to God in voluntarily giving his life a ransom for all. We then look at our own faltering steps and our effort to follow Jesus and are greatly humbled. This is the proper attitude for a Christian. Humility is the only ground upon which the fruit of the Spirit can grow and ripen. Remember Moses. God cannot use the 40-year-old prince of Egypt. Legend has it that Moses commanded an Egyptian army against a much larger Ethiopian army and vanquished the invading force. Jehovah could not use that mighty warrior to lead his enslaved people out of Egypt. But Jehovah did use the mellowed, more patient, more gentle, more humble, 80-year-old shepherd of sheep and goats. Jehovah could use the meek man who wielded a shepherd's staff rather than a prince's sword. At times we may think we're ready to take on a work for the Lord when the Lord says no. Just wait. Humbly wait on the Lord, and in his time, the Lord will show you where and when he can use you to serve him and his children best. There are also times when our repeated mistakes and sins get us discouraged or depressed. We ask ourselves, how could I do that again? How could I think that? Where did that thought come from? It's easy to dwell on our failures. When we thought or said the wrong thing, when we lost our temper, when we were impatient, that happens to me a lot, when we weren't more sensitive to the needs of others. We can get so down on ourselves that we don't do the good we want to do, as Paul describes in Romans 7:19. We need to keep a watch on that negative voice inside our head. We can't change the past, but we can change what we do and say today. We can work at keeping our mind on things above from this day on. We're working on living according to the Spirit so we need not to be ashamed. When we feel we're losing the good fight of faith, remember, you are the Lord's anointed. Jehovah is our Father in heaven. He commands armies of angels to aid and protect his children, striving to be more than overcomers. Jesus is our elder brother and our advocate, standing on our side. One of the ways to get back on our feet spiritually when we've beaten ourselves down over our human failings is to talk to ourselves with the voice of truth. We need to call to mind the word of truth from 1 John 2:1-2. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation or satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Listen to the psalmist's voice in Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Listen to the voice of the wise in Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. The just person does fall. Jehovah doesn't prevent us from failing at times. David fell. Peter fell. Saul of Tarsus fell. But Jehovah raised them up again. And he raises us up when we repent, have a contrite heart, and call upon his name. The Lord is looking at our heart's intent to serve him, not for perfection in imperfect human beings. The Lord is looking to see our striving for that love and compassion Jesus showed to others. Some of the lyrics of a current worship song describes our desire to be more like Jesus and less like our fallen flesh. It describes the good fight of faith to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. It's called Less Like Me. Oh, I have days I lose the fight. Try my best, but just don't get it right. Well, I talk a talk that I don't walk and miss the moments right before my eyes. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped, somebody with a hand that I could have held, when I just can't see past myself. Oh, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Oh, I want to feed the beggar on the street. Love to be your hands and feet. Freely give what I receive. I want to put you first above all else. Love my neighbor as myself. In the moments no one sees, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus. Oh, a little less like me. A little more of living everything I preach, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Oh, a little less like me. The purpose of accurately studying the scriptures and our conduct to develop a faithful, loving, and godly character is to share it with others, now as ambassadors of the kingdom of Christ, and then in the kingdom as part of the royal priesthood, to bless and aid the world of mankind up the highway of holiness back to the character likeness of our God. Jesus says in Matthew 5:14-16, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but on the stand, and it shineth unto all that are in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In letting our light shine, we look to Jesus as our pattern. Wouldn't we be approved to God if we studied the example Jehovah gave us in his Son? How did Jesus let his light shine? Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom of God throughout his ministry. He spoke the words his Father in heaven gave him to speak and did the works his Father in heaven gave him to do. John 8:28-29. The Apostle Paul says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. So we should each be preaching the good news of the kingdom to all those with an ear to hear. Jesus was not only a wonderful speaker of the words of life, he was also a wonderful listener. Remember how he listened to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well? He did not dwell on her past, but saw her faith, listened to her responses, and kept drawing out her faith as water from a well. Because of her great faith, he revealed to her that he was the Christ. He didn't do that for others. She believed Jesus and brought others out of the city to meet Jesus, and they believed in him. And he stayed in that Samaritan city 2 days teaching them. We should also be good listeners. The Apostle James tells us this in James 1:19, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Jesus was also very magnanimous when John forbid a man from casting out demons in Jesus' name because he didn't follow them. Jesus' response was, forbid him not, for there is no man who shall do a mighty work in my name and be able quickly to speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us. Mark 9:39 and 40. We should also be very magnanimous, loving, and tolerant of each other over differing views of current events or prophetic viewpoints. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Jesus also called attention to the good that people did, regardless of social status. In Mark 12:41 to 44, Jesus commends a poor widow who put two small copper coins into the temple treasury. Although the rich put in much more out of their abundance, she gave all that she had to the service of God. In her poverty, she put in all she owned, all she had to live on. That's faith. That's great faith. When Mary anointed Jesus' feet with spikenard, she was accused of wasting such precious ointment that could have been sold and the money given to the poor. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor always with you, and whosoever ye will, ye can do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She hath anointed my body beforehand for the burying. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, that also which this woman hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Wow, what a commendation. We should also call attention to the good people do, regardless of social status or of our Christian fellowship, and not focus on others' flaws. As Jesus said in Matthew 7:3-5, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. In other words, we have a lot of work to do in ourselves to reduce that log to a speck. We should let our brother or sister come to us for help with their own speck once we only have a speck to work on in ourselves. Jesus prayed often, and he prayed for others. He prayed for Lazarus to come forth from the grave, and Lazarus did. He prayed for Peter that his faith failed not, and Peter's faith did not fail. Peter lived up to his name. He became a rock of faith in the church. In letting our light shine, we should pray for one another, pray for others in need, pray even for our enemies, and pray for the kingdom of God. We are to bless those that hate us and pray for them that persecute us and despitefully use us. When Jesus saw an opportunity to bless others, he did. Jesus had compassion on the multitudes, on the sick, on the bereaved. He fed them, he healed them, and he raised the dead. In letting our light shine, we need to take the opportunities before us to bless others, to be compassionate. We need to share our spiritual hope in the kingdom as well as our temporal means when the opportunities arise. We are to love God, love his son Jesus, live that sacrificial love for one another, lay down our lives for each other, love our neighbors as ourselves, and even love our enemies. In closing, we have answered the highest of callings and consecrated our all to God, and our living sacrifice is acceptable to God through Christ. The high calling costs all we have, though it is also worth all it costs. In our efforts to live a Christ-like life, we hope to be living letters to all those we come in contact with, that they would know we have been with Jesus. May each one of us that God has called look at each new day as a new adventure in faith given to us from Jehovah to develop and purify our hearts with a loving, godly character. Let's keep a watch on that negative voice in our heads and replace it with the voice of truth. Our Father in heaven dwells with those of a contrite heart. A humble heart condition is approved of God. May our desire always be to be more like Jesus and less like our fallen flesh. Let us earnestly study to present ourselves approved to God by actively toiling to transform our conduct according to the Spirit and not after the flesh, having no need to be ashamed, by accurately cutting into the word of truth daily, cutting away error in our understanding and our conduct, by emulating Jesus' example, living our faith expressed in works. Amen.